A philosopher has absolute trust in cosmic power. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, bringing you The Absolute Philosopher. A philosopher has absolute trust in cosmic power. Now, why would a philosopher have absolute trust in cosmic power? What does a philosopher know about cosmic power? Well, what the philosopher knows about cosmic power is not what you think of when you're talking about cosmic power. It's not that which causes the spaceships to zap through space. It's not that which is the energy of the universe. It's not that which is the I don't know what you would call cosmic power. The cosmic planets all moving in their space and things like that. Cosmic power is the awareness within all beingness, all isness, of its ideal, of its realism, of its reality. Cosmic power is like the life force within. The cosmic power, as we all try to give it that other point of view, like it's gasoline for the engine sort of thing, falls far, far short. Because how do we say what is the cosmic force of the human body? The life force of the human body. How do we define the life force of the human body? How do we even think about the life force of the human body? The life force of the human body is something that has no touchability, no real name to it. It has no demonstrable aspects to it. We think when the human body disintegrates that the life force exits from the human body, but the life force does not. The life force is eternally in every atom in the human body, whether it is in one shape or another. The life force does not care, so to speak, what form the atomic structure takes, whether it is the shape of a body or a planet or the cosmos or whatever it may be. Now, I think an interesting sidebar to this might be thinking about a cosmic force or cosmic energy, cosmic power, and think of it as you would think of something that is an eternal awareness. It's an eternal awareness that dwells within each. Now, just travel with me for a second. Here on Earth, that's quite easy. You see our bodies, you see our things in our microscopes and our telescopes, looking at the finite things and looking at the grander things. But now let's take a little journey. Join with me as we take a little journey to beyond the beyond, the beyond, the beyond, the beyond, the beyond, the beyond, to looking at all of this universe, all this cosmic space that we live in, and that a billion, zillion, trillion other universes live in too. Now let's look at it from beyond that. Now, what do we see when we look at it from beyond that which we have described? Okay, this is going to sound very silly, but just think about it. Beyond, beyond, beyond is a room, let's say, and in that room is the divine ideal, and the divine ideal is playing with a bunch of other divine ideals, and they are thinking, now, that's interesting how the universe operates, that's interesting how the universe goes, you guys did a good job, you know. Now, I would like to see how you were going to handle this. And so then the cosmic creative cause takes a bit of cosmic dust and throws it into the universe, and everything goes tipsy-topsy-turvy, and all of the balance and all of the harmony and all of the order now is changed. Now, it takes an infinite number of years, billions of years, for it to, you know, settle down again and form its own patterns again. But meanwhile, what's going on all these galaxies where all this turbulence is and all of this fuss is? Why would that be going on? It's like the little boy jumping into the puddle, and it's his cosmic world, and all the little leaves that are his boats are flashing up into the air, and the little ants that are his people are all washed away. And we think, yes, we can understand that. That is in a very finite way. But why can't that also be in a more infinite way? So here we have the infinite allness, and let's say some gods who are representative of the allness as we are, playing games up there in the heavens, so to speak. But that is interesting. But more interesting are the gods who are playing games with the gods in a far more advanced way of looking at things. And then we go back, as our scientists would like to have us do with the Big Bang Theory, going back into the one atom that exploded and became all the other atoms of the universe. Now, does science contemplate saying that all of the universes beyond the universes beyond the universes beyond the universes are all brought into being by the one Big Bang of the one atom? But you see, the charming thing of it all is, where did that one atom come from? Where did that one atom? Who threw that atom in there? And is that one atom merely one of an infinite number of atoms being thrown into an infinite number of universes? Just to sort of start things off and to bring creativity along the road. Now, I'm saying all these things to do my very best to confuse you. And there is nothing the mind cannot think of that the mind cannot bring forth. The mind can think of anything, and the mind can bring it forth. Because you are God. You are the Creator. You are unlimited. The cosmic power is available to you to utilize in any way you like. The cosmic power is not the life force, but it's like the life force, sort of untouchable. It's like the life force, unextinguishable. It is eternal. The life force goes on forever, and it goes on forever. Now, let's take another look at this from the point of cosmic power. Can anything be created or destroyed? Can anything which is an illusion be created or destroyed? Now, how can we say something that is an illusion can be created or destroyed? When all is divine, when all is the ultimate. We're saying that some things are good and some things are bad. We're saying some things are right and some things are wrong. We're saying some things can be created and destroyed, but other things cannot. We say human things can be created or destroyed because we create the illusion of seeing them being created and being destroyed. Whereas in truth, nothing is created and nothing is destroyed. Everything is and is, and it lasts forever, and it has the cosmic power within it, and it cannot be reduced to nothingness. It just, the illusion is there. Can you elude, can you have the illusion in your mind that the infinite cosmic cause of all can be destroyed or created? Kind of hard to do. Can you, in your mind, in your thought, think that there is anything that can be destroyed, anything that can be duplicated, anything that can be changed in any way? Now, if you're looking in the mirror and you see yourself and you say, oh, that's me. And then somebody opens the door to the gymnasium and the jacuzzi and the swimex, and mist floats into the room and covers the mirror. Now, you were there just a moment ago, and now there's nothing but a hazy mist on that mirror, and you're no longer there. Now, where did you go? Were you destroyed? Were you sent off to some other creative experience or something? You see, we think just because we cannot see it, that it does not exist. And it always exists. Now, we believe in our illusions. And that's fine. We believe in our illusions. We should believe in the game we're playing. It makes the game much more fun. If we don't believe in the game we're playing, then we have no reason to play the game. We have no reason to get involved. But think about how that is, and think about where you stand on them. You cannot have dualism in principle. And principle says nothing can be created or destroyed. Everything is, was, always will be, and lives, exists in the now. There's only the now. And there's only the now of time, and there's only the here of space. So, you see, when you get to these basic philosophical points, science was not there. Science believed many other beliefs. But the philosophers believed all time is now, all space is here. The philosophers believed that all could be known. And in the year 1681, I was looking at a map yesterday from the year 1681 of the world. And they had quite a marvelous map there of the world. And the southern half of the world was pretty well described. But where Greenland extends north, and where Canada goes north, and where Russia goes north, it's a little less definitive. Because whoever did the map did not have a chance to cover that area. Can you imagine one person or a series of people covering the entire earth in 1500 or 1600 with the type of ships they had, with the type of navigation they had, and coming up with a map as exact, as correct as the map that was given there? Quite amazing, isn't it? Now, it's only when a person says, I know that I know that I know, that it happens. Only when a person says, I know that I know that I know, it happens. Now, Christy is one of our students in London, and Christy is working on I know that I know that I know. And Christy realizes that this is a principle, and she's applying it in her life. She's not saying, maybe it won't work. She knows it works. She knows it works to the degree that she applies the principle. Now, do you and I know that it works to the degree that we apply the principle? We can. Are you ready to apply the principle? Are you ready to know that all is now? Are you ready to know that this is it? This is the cosmic power of the universe? Are you ready to know that? Are you ready to know that the cosmic power of the universe never fades away? If you are tuned into the cosmic power of the universe, which you are, it never gets less. It never gets less. It always gets more. And as it gets more, more is revealed to you, and more understanding is revealed to you, and more awareness is revealed to you. A philosopher has absolute trust in cosmic power because a philosopher knows cosmic power is reality. Cosmic power is eternality. Cosmic power is all. And that's what we are dealing with. That's what the absolute philosopher deals with. He deals with the concepts that perhaps some people might not believe it. But regardless, when Newton said gravity exists, and he said that the Earth is not the center of the universe, and the Pope disagreed, he still did not change his opinion. He didn't recant. And the Pope had to put in house arrest. But you see, that too passed. That too changed. Now, did he think he was wrong? No. When you believe in something and stand up for something, when Joan of Arc stood up to say that the divine in her guided her to do what she did as she led the French army to victories, the church didn't like that because it took power away from the priests and put it in the laymen, and that was hard for them to take. But today, the laymen are beginning to have some of the power. The priests are still there, doing their thing, as are the clergy in all the other churches. And they feel that they're necessary, because they feel they help you make a link between yourself and God outside of yourself. And the day will come, very soon, when all clergy will realize they're guiding you on the link within yourself, to yourself, of yourself, being the allness right now. It's quite an exciting adventure, and we are right in the middle of it. So join me on that adventure and have a ball, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.